Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for Judges as we open up this book. And as a few weeks in here, Lord, we ask that we would take heed unto ourselves and how we hear the Word of God. And we take heed unto the warning that you put in the book of Judges for all your people to listen to. And we ask tonight to have ears to hear and to hear what your Spirit says as we study the Word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. A couple days ago, May 27th, Memorial Day, Wisdom for Today, entitled No Pretense. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. Jeremiah 3:10. Judah witnessed the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel as they turned away from God into idolatry. Though King Josiah initiated spiritual reform, it wasn't a complete reformation. Though they had become outwardly religious, inwardly their hearts were unaffected. Today, many people might go to church, but only on special occasions or when it is convenient for them. Others attend church faithfully out of a habit. But even as they sit in service, their mind is out on a golf course or where they want to go for lunch. Though their body is in church, their heart is someplace else. Many people today settle for a half-hearted relationship with God. Jesus told the church of Ephesus that they had lost their first love. He told the church in Laodicea, "Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Revelation 3:16. Rate your relationship with God. Is it hot, cold, or lukewarm? Do you have the same fervency you once had for God? Or is the emotion gone and you are operating now out of mere duty or habit? Is your worship genuine, heartfelt adoration, or is it merely a pretense? If the Holy Spirit has shown you in an area of pretense, an area where you have allowed your hearts to be divided, repent and renew your commitment. God deserves true worship from you. He deserves your whole heart. Father, give us a pure heart, one that is wholly devoted to you. Bring us back into a place of blessing and a place where we can be a blessing to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges 2 verse 6 says, when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went, every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. We've been considering the book, this book of the Bible, given to us for study and learning that we might learn the warning. The warning not to live like the people around you. Don't follow their ways. Follow the Lord and do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Now, it's been a couple weeks since we were in the study of the book of Judges. And just have you glance back at the first five verses. And an angel of the Lord shows up and calls the children of Israel back to repentance because they have turned aside, really through making a fellowship with the world around them. They had made a league with the inhabitants of the land, and they didn't obey the voice of their God, and they let the other nations who had lived there, they let their altars remain. Now, we come to this place tonight that part of this for me is going to be going through Judges chapter 2, and then the other part is the things that the Spirit of God has been saying to us, which puts me then in a place that is rather unique in that the Holy Spirit was talking to us about this before we got to the book of Judges. And trying to capture that for us as we study this, that what we saw in the first five verses was a true godly sorrow. When it says that they were in Bochim, that means weeping. And I really believe that what we see happen in Judges 2, 1 through 5 was a true godly sorrow that leads to repentance, that caused the people of God to turn back to the Lord and serve Him only. as we consider, I came to Monday morning and I read Wisdom for Today, and I think my mouth dropped open because I've been preparing for this. And there was a phrase in that I just want to bring forth. And this is now the Holy Spirit part that we're going to be addressing in church. And it's this word idolatry, where it says they turned away from God into idolatry. So I'll introduce it here as we see the children of Israel. Again, in the days of Joshua, he had given everybody their inheritance. They cast lots. Everybody had their place to live. We saw them all with incomplete obedience, incomplete surrender, that they allowed to remain in their area the other nations that they were told to put out. Yes, it was difficult. And this is that reminder for us that we see here, this rooting out those things in our lives that God the Holy Spirit is calling us to root out of our lives. And as we begin this study, and as the way that we applied this first section here, I remind you that I had seven men come up and read the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 and gave an exhortation of repentance for us as a people of God. And that's to stir up in us that what we saw in the first five verses, we see repentance. As we applied it, we were exhorted to repent as we hear what the Spirit says. Now, verse 7, Judges 2, verse 7 says, "The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord and that he did for Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mountain of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers." And then right here in the middle of 10, "And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." So we see that repentance that happened in Joshua's day was effective, and that it lasted for the lifespan of Joshua as the one who was leading the children of Israel, together with the other leaders that went out and established for each tribe that they would serve the Lord. That key phrase, they would serve the Lord. Verse 7, "The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua." Now, having seen those great works of the Lord, that generation who was in the wilderness, born in the wilderness, because all the men who were above that age of 20, when they rejected God's plan to go into the land, that this is the generation born in the wilderness. They've crossed over. They've seen the mighty works. They've seen God defeat all the enemies. And that generation, I'm going to lay it out to us this way. The word of God for them was life and death. The word of God for them was life and death. It was not just a good idea. It was not just, hey, that's great, we should study the Bible. In fact, as you get into this study and consider with me that the instructions how to serve the Lord, where to serve the Lord, how to approach him, how to address sin, all of that was laid out while they were in the wilderness. They had the tabernacle and they had all the instructions. This is how the people of God are to serve the Lord. With all the commands, again, second time around, book of Deuteronomy, that they would serve the Lord and him only. They would make no graven images. All these instructions set before, they served the Lord. They saw all his works. Now, Joshua dies, verse 8. They bury him. And then verse 10. "And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers." So Joshua was 110 years old. He was older than that next generation. Remember, Caleb and Joshua, the two that remained alive. So this seemingly persists for probably another 20 to 40 years after Joshua's death. And then you get this comment that gives a general statement of what happened with that next generation. And this is where we as a church, I believe, are going to begin to take this stand. And it's this. For my wife and I, we had, right, I had backslidden, I met her. Our lives, we came to faith in Christ Jesus, and we turned. I turned right before my wife and I were married, and she agreed to turn with me, and we started serving the Lord. And the Word of God became for us life and death. And so then we raised our children in a very particular way, according to the Scripture, answering the call also to pastor a church, having found the teaching of the Word of God, and set this forth and give my life to, I will do this work. And to begin to teach the Bible and to share the gospel and to live that way. For me, Word of God, life and death. Now, I give the same instruction to the next generation. Again, if you think about coming to faith in Christ Jesus, maybe having been saved in this ministry, or having been saved and finding your way here because the Word of God was taught. Same way that I raised my children, as I put into them a love for God's Word, but I never wanted to leave it just there to love the Bible or to love what God has to say, but to take the Scriptures in such a way that it's life and death, meaning that I must live according to what God has given in His Word. Now, this generation that then died, and there arose another generation after them, and look at that phrase in verse 10, which knew not the Lord. I want you to highlight, underline, circle, mustard stain, however you get this into your heart and to your mind. See, we live in a world, right? Just like the children of Israel who were brought into this land that was possessed by pagan worshiping, idolatrous, covetous, fornicators. You go right down the list what they were in Canaan before the children of Israel got in there. That's the world you are raising your children in. That's the world we raised our children in. That's the world that we're having church in. That's the world where we're reaching out. And I describe it in this way, this other generation after them which knew not the Lord. And you take that phrase, which knew not the Lord. Here's the company you're with. Pharaoh, Exodus 5:2. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Again, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's the YHWH. It's Yahweh, Yehovah, Jehovah. However the name of God is actually pronounced, Pharaoh simply says to Moses, who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? And listen to Pharaoh's phrase. Pharaoh's phrase, I know not the Lord. Now, put this forth in this way, that we are doing church in a city where many people here now would be able to utter like Pharaoh, I know not the Lord. Okay? Interestingly enough, as a part of me no longer signing the marriage certificates or the marriage licenses for the state, I've willingly removed myself as an instrument for the state, because now our government allows two of the same gender to marry. And I'm pretty sure that as I stood in the courthouse today with Elijah and Lacey bearing witness that they legally got married there, and I signed my name as their witness, I'm pretty sure that the guy in front of them has wedded two women and two men and everything else in between. I will not do that. Therefore, the only way to protect that, and I just said, thank you, Elijah and Lacey, for protecting me by we go to the courthouse. I do nothing legal for the government because it's the only way I can protect from being sued. Now, someone will probably now challenge accepted, still try to find a way to do that. But that's the world we now live in. And when I describe it this way, that even as we do this wedding today, and everybody's wondering about this backdrop, that's for the wedding. If you're seeing the video online, wow, I like the new backdrop. But we're living in a world that has changed what marriage is, and that marriage came forth from God. And we can see very clearly there arose another generation which knew not the Lord. An entire nation. Okay. Now, when I said it in that way, and together, good company with Pharaoh, the reason why we take such an emphasis with this is not because we came into the New Testament and all this changed. What we're finding out as we study through the Old Testament, that in the days of the Exodus out of Egypt, that that's already in place. So that predates the book of Judges, and the same issue was in place. And God judged all those gods of this world by those plagues that he used to deliver out of Egypt. But Pharaoh knows not the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2:12. Unto the ministry. Eli's boys. 1 Samuel 2:12 describes Eli's boys, the sons of Eli, as children of Belial. Worthless men in the ministry. Now their practice was to sleep with the women who came up to worship at the temple. Also, they took from the offerings and the sacrifices of the people, and they took the fat of the sacrifice, which all the people who offered up knew that belonged to God, and they would take that before God even had his portion, so much so that they had defiled the worship of God, that going to church with Eli's boys leading, and all they had corrupted, that the people despised going to church. Again, playing on that for us to see that there are many sinful practices of those in the ministry that causes people to not want to be in church. It could be that your denomination that you grew up with, again, if you were United Methodist, they just took their vote last month. Well, earlier this month, all the conservative portion really has already left the United Methodist, United Methodist Convention, UMC. Most of the conservatives were already gone. They voted to accept, right? Well, no longer say that homosexuality in the ministry would be a sin. No. Just describe this. This is the world we're in. This is where we're going to have church. This is where you're going to raise your children. My wife, driving the vehicle, kids are young, two men, right, skipping and holding hands, and one dressed in a skirt with a pink purse, and the kid's like, "What's that?" You think we ever wanted to talk with them about homosexuality from a young age? Never wanted to talk about it. See, this is the world we're in. Again, another generation arose which knew not the Lord. We shouldn't be surprised what? That there is a generation now that knows not the Lord. They don't know the Word of God. So much so that whoever scripted the portion that the justice of the peace reads for the wedding, a believer evidently put in 1 Corinthians 13 without saying it ever was from the Bible. Love is patient. Love is kind. Afterwards, Elijah's geeking out about it, right? And asked the justice of the peace, that part right there, do you know where that came from? He's like, that's the Word of God. And the guy doesn't even know. Does not know that what he's reading is a description of love is patient, love is kind. And whoever scripted that thing cleverly put that in there, and I've been there before, and it's been read the same way. Now, when I describe this to us, of the category of being a church, that what? To live our lives in such a way that we as a church would be holy. Not just those in the ministry, but a church that is set apart, not of this world. And you should not expect, like, you come to church and what? All the practices that in the world are in church? Or have we taken it to heart that we'd be that genuine church that says, we will not be conformed to this world? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That we would then be a church, or again, in the midst of a generation that knew not the Lord, and the midst of ministry, sons of Eli, worthless men who, again, the phrase, they knew not the Lord. And I understand that. There's going to be churches in town that we could say what? They don't know the Lord. And as I describe that environment, Jeremiah 4:22, so after the children of Israel, really, Jeremiah is the prophet of the downfall, even as you consider this. For my people is foolish, right? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. Jeremiah 4:22. They are sottish children. Okay. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Found out at the Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference, East Coast, Calvary Chapel pastor, right? No more. Wickedness and evil of one of the worst kinds. Caught with child pornography over all of his machines. I hate telling you these things, but I'll be faithful to tell them to you. So, man, there was a wake-up call, out of darkness into light, straight up. That was our call. The call that we as a church would no longer walk in darkness. Now, I'm onto something here with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to introduce it to you. We are to remove idolatry from our lives. Okay? That's this part of where we are at now. The idols must go. Because if you'll look carefully together with me as we begin Judges chapter 2, they did not remove the idolatrous worship of the nations they were told to put away. They let that worship of those gods remain, and guess what's going to happen to them? Before long, if they know not the Lord, they're going to turn aside to the worship and practices of all that the world is into. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. That is straightforward. Into the New Testament, Galatians 4. Now, this is for believers, right, who have been tempted to go back to their old life. In the context of Galatians 4, it was for believers who were drawn back to something else. So how be it then, Galatians 4, 8, he's reminding them when they knew not God. How be it then when you knew not God? All of us have that testimony. If you realize that from a young age and you're sorting that whole thing, well, I was raised in a godly home. At some point, you still have to understand there came a point in time when I knew God. I was born of him. I believed him. I received him. Fashion your testimony accordingly. Don't give one of those empty testimonies. I've always been a Christian. That's not possible. You can't be born a Christian. You have to be born again. And how be it then when you knew not God, Galatians 4:8, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. So I remind you what you were before you came to faith in Christ Jesus and the activities that you were into. There's your idolatry. That's your idolatry. What are the things you were doing? What lust were you satisfying? What pleasure were you pursuing? What, when you woke up in the morning, is I must do this today? Okay, this is not me trying to convince you that you had idols. You know you served various lusts and pleasures, whatever that was. And now you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, the word to the Galatians, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desired again to be in bondage? And this is where I now offer to us, idols will bring you into bondage. An idol will bring you into bondage. Now, we've jokingly said, you know, we have the idol on our wall, and it's that TV. Got to have a room, got to have a space for the idol above the mantle so you can watch your TV. But just take heed unto yourself concerning what? Is it really that you are lusting and desiring after the things that come in through that screen? Now, Titus 1:16. And I already knew this tonight. I'm only introducing this tonight. I'm praying through this. Like, do I do a wedding teaching tonight? Right? And I'm like, okay, do I do a wedding teaching or do I keep on track? And I have two sermons, right? I even told Elijah and Lacey. I said, well, sometime we get together, I'll give you the sermon I had for you tonight. You know, are you ready to be married? Are the five R's for grace and godly marriage, right? I got them all ready to go. You want them? You want them now? Redemption. You got to be saved by the blood of Jesus, right? Redemption. Reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. R. So you have redemption, reconciled. Got two out of the five. Restored into right relationship with God. I know the last one was at rest. What was the fourth one? Redeemed. Reconciled. Oh, repentance. You've repented. Restoration. And then at rest. Did I pray that over? All five of them? All five of them?
Yeah.
When?
During your prayer thing with us, yeah.
So the Holy Spirit got them to you anyway?
Yes, you did. He did, yes.
So it's good that I pray in the Spirit. Very good. Now, okay, that's the other sermon you don't get tonight. But you get it. But it's related. This is the call. So 11 years ago when I came back and we were told the Church of Sardis, and I was given instructions to teach and preach repentance in two areas. One was to remove idolatry. The idolatry of the church is covetousness. Let me illustrate. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Okay? Men. Right? Lust, covet. Right? You see a woman, she's not yours. That's idolatry. Okay? Women. Right? You see a man, it's not yours. Lust, covet, idolatry. Okay, and without being graphic, right? But this is the instruction. When Paul wrote to Titus, okay, so now we got to sort something out here. When Paul wrote to Travis Titus, here's what we got to sort out. It began on Sunday. This: people honor me with their lips, but hearts are far from them. I'm just going to say that, not here. And I'm just going to lay that out. It's the same way I said to the men when we were in the dove wing and come into the light, and I said to everybody, if you want to stay in darkness, you want to hide how you're living, you want to hide all the sinful practices that you're not telling the other men so we can all be joined together and be in the light. If you're not walking in the light and you want to stay in darkness, my word to them was, go now. Go now. So we're here tonight, and I'm going to lay it out. All the empty words or pretense, if you take Pastor Chuck's wisdom for today, and you put this together, this is Titus 1:16. The description is they profess to know God. Okay, so that's the lip service. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. Now, that list, my brothers and sisters, is long. In the last 10 to 15 years of those that have built their public ministries using social media and the internet to proclaim and to profess all these things. Now, I don't have any stats for you, but I know so many people who have just crashed and burned. And from the beginning, kept their idolatry around. Now, for those of you, and again, I'll just offer it up to you, I was at the Calvary Chapel East Coast Pastors Conference at Calvary Chapel, Philly. Pastor Joe Foch. You can go to ccphilly.org, and I recommend you listening to this pastor's conference. And then you can hear that what we do as we go to pastors' conferences and how we study the Word of God. And my plea with this: they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being, listen to these words, abominable, like the snowman. But it actually is a word that's reserved for the idolatrous nature. Right? Abominable is the worship of other gods. And then it's rooted into a word that means to stink. And one of the lexicons took the root word in Titus to those that silently break wind. I'm like, what commentary is this? That's for you, Kelly. Just so my Bible study reaches to you, right? See, we can laugh about that, but that's not something you would ever do in the presence of your God that you're worshiping. See, because it goes with this. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. So Paul, by the Holy Spirit, picks a very particular word that says, what is that smell? Worshipping of other gods. So we talk about our aroma, worshipping God, the aroma of Christ, and we talk about living that way. In works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now that should sow into your mind Romans 1, where they did not like to retain the knowledge of God. Let's keep going tonight, verses 11 through 15. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Did I read through all the other verses?
Yeah.
Yep. We did, right? We got that. Okay, yep, this is where I want to be at. 11. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. That's plural. Baalim. Baalim. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them. Now, remember the warning? For us to be in this world, but not live like the rest of the world lives. They bowed themselves down to them. You hear that phrase? They bowed themselves down to the false gods. They served them. They begin to honor them. That's where their money goes. That's where they spend their money. They bowed themselves down and provoked the Lord to anger. Something like this in the Ten Commandments. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. As they provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Do you know how many churches are falling like crazy? Right. How many churches no longer are churches after the last 4 or 5 years? How many pastors? It's been said that there are so many pastors each month that just quit being a pastor. And I just lay this out in this way. Is it true that the hand of God, since he is with those who are humble and with him, but God's face is against the proud? The church that no longer knows the Lord, the warning to the church at Ephesus was, I will remove the lampstand. The warning to the church of Laodicea, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I think you get my point. We're studying the Old Testament, but the warning is ready for us today. We can see it all around us. We can see all the church growth models. We can see that. If you didn't understand this, everything about the Willow Creek seeker-sensitive model, which was published broadly and widely and continues to have its effect, was how to be more worldly. How to have the world in church and still call it church. God was against them, handed them over to their enemies. Whithersoever, I love the King James words, whithersoever they had sworn unto, they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. As the Lord had said, and the Lord had sworn unto them, they were greatly distressed. Now, as the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals. These are the gods of the Phoenicians and the Canaanites who lived there. In the grammar, the way that this is, it's the emphatic plural. Okay? So it reads like this. They served the great Lord, the sovereign owner. So this was not just an addition to their worship of God that they on the side had something. They made something else Lord of their life. How did our Lord say it to us? No man can serve two masters. See, and what's described here as they forsook the Lord and did evil, they, in that emphatic plural, they made the Baals the great Lord and the sovereign owner of their lives. Now this is our warning from the book of Judges. And I'm going to bring it forth this way. A serious and sober tone to be serious with the Lord. Okay? A serious and sober tone to be serious with the Lord. If we continue to compromise, the sin in our lives will destroy us. Just going to lay it out. If we continue to compromise, the sin in our lives will destroy us. How does it work? We think, oh, that's not a big deal. I still serve God. I still go to church. And you might even be able to say, I still read my Bible. I still do this. But that compromise, the compromise with the sin in our lives will destroy us. I'll introduce a phrase here that I've been using the last couple weeks, and I'll use it here. Many Christians believe that they will not be subject to the spiritual laws of sowing and reaping. Now, for many, I have handed out the MP3 files of the Marriage and Family by the book from Pastor Jim O'Keefe. I had lunch with Pastor Jim O'Keefe at the pastor's conference. I saw him on day one, gave him a big hug. I said, let's catch up. He found me for lunch on Tuesday, and just caught up with him, and he has five children, and three of them no longer walk with or serve the Lord. I just know when I went to prayer on Tuesday night, all my needs came behind two other needs that I found to be much more important than mine: to get his three kids back. Okay? Breaks my heart. Breaks his heart. Now, when I describe this, compromise to the sin our lives will destroy us. Remember that. Oh, the next generation arose that knew not the Lord. So in the sober, serious, again, tone to take this walk seriously, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. When our children, right, were born, we stopped watching TV. We stopped watching any media. Remember that, honey? Right? Now, we took that walk seriously. Why? Life and death for us. Life and death. Living sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world. I only know one way to not be conformed to this world. Turn it off. I've counseled, right, many men, again, some in this church that are still here, others that are long gone. I counseled many of them. If that phone is causing you to sin, like your right hand, cut it off. I only know of one who did. The rest compromised. Now, idolatry. Why I bring it up in that context is because of this in 13. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Well, before we get past this, do not be conformed to this world. There's another part to that verse, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't want to leave that part out. How do you renew your mind? Word of God. How do you renew your mind? Not the world, the Word. Take the L out, right? Not the world, the Word. Just again, if that's a quirky enough. And this is a supernatural change of God. So what did we do? My wife and I, we simply said, we're not going to raise our kids after the world. As long as we can, we're going to keep them from. We watched action Bible songs over and over and over again. I'm so glad we didn't have the internet pumping videos at us. But if you're going to have children now, what do you need to know? You have to learn how to turn the world off. So supernatural change of God under the will of God. Jesus is building his church. Again, this is my encouragement to us. He's building his church here. He says, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is our current working here, and it's a promise. And we just keep asking the Lord, what do we do it this way? What do we need? And it's how we arrived at the banner. It's how we arrived at the seven pillars. Out of the current darkness in the world, the light is to shine forth. What's the current darkness? The evil in the world. That's a lot like what we're reading in Book of Judges. What's the current darkness? Well, I've already hinted at it tonight. What the world allows sexually, that's dark, man. Very dark. And it's now in the open, but it doesn't mean it's what? Any less dark. It's perverse. The evil in the world, get this. Bobby Hargraves, as he's teaching his session, he references Judges chapter 2, verse 10 and Judges 2, verse 11. And I'm just writing my notes. That's next Wednesday for me, and now I'm here. So my word to all of you, the idol's got to go. Whatever lust, pleasure that you think you can't do without, or you're hiding, or you're whatever you're coveting. And here's the Baals and Ashtaroths. I almost jumped right to that because I want to jump to this. I want to make this clear. The Ashtaroths were the pornographic carvings in a wood pole that they would be on display right beside the altar of the Baals that they worshipped. So the pornographic images, that's idolatry. It's idolatry. Looking at the same thing they did, the worship of the Baals and the Ashtaroths. And I'll go one step further. Stop the drinking, stop the drugs, stop the, now marijuana's legal, stop the marijuana, stop the gummies, all that stuff. So now we have a chance here as a church to do what? To take heed unto what I believe to be something that if we will put the idols away, because judgment begins in the house of God. Let's see. The word of the Lord was rare. So you do realize the coming out of the book of Judges that breaks that cycle, which we're going to study over and over again. You're going to get so sick of the cycle. But this works well for unrepented sin in church. Why the book of Judges is so important. How many times do you put the Ashtaroths away only to do what? Pick it back, a rough time. And it comes down to this. Trusting God. There's an old path. Jeremiah 6:16 describes, as Jeremiah is prophesying to the people, the old path is the path of trusting God, and it's a path of rest. Come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Trusting God. To the point that I would describe the word of the Lord was rare, we have a task to accomplish. I have a task to accomplish. I must teach you all the word of God. And anyone who will listen to us, we must get the word of God to go forth. There's a famine for the hearing of the word of God. Not a famine for bread, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Amos 8:11. So you have 1 Samuel 3:1, Amos 8:11. You can jot those down. Isaiah 8:20. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. How many churches are in darkness? If you're promoting sin, you're in darkness. And just describe this. We need revival. The call in Samuel's day was Samuel saw the idolatry, saw all the worship, and he says, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you. Genesis 35. Jacob's in the promised land, and he says, put your idols away. Let's go to Bethel. Let's return to the Lord. The call to return comes often. So the idols will never satisfy you. It brings problems. Number one, return with all your heart. This is where I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to get his attention to us. The honoring with the lips but heart far away, that's got to stop. I'd much rather you not say a word and do what? Bring your heart close. Okay? So in that returning with all your heart, I think that addresses that pretense. It addresses that. And then the second one, put away the idols. Subpoint A under second point two, put away the idols if you're outlining. You know what they are. Okay? Second Timothy 2:20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Subpoint B under subpoint 2, put away the idols, is to cleanse your vessel. See, a part of putting away the idolatry is actually removing that abominable, detestable stink. People might not detect it right away, but guess who knows it's there all along? You and God knows it's there. So a bit of a serious tone tonight. And I'm like, I'm going with this over and over. Like, Elijah and Lacey's wedding, should I give him a nice wedding gift of a nice, are you ready for marriage? The grace of God, 5 points. Or should we stick with where we're at? Well, you know which way I believe the Holy Spirit led me. So these idols will never satisfy you, will bring you problems. So you return with your whole heart to God. You put away the idols. You know what they are. Cleanse your vessels. And then point three was prepare your hearts and serve him only. Very sincerely here, prepare your hearts to serve the Lord only. What do we need? We need leaders. If you look at verse 16, Judges 2, and I'll wrap up here tonight. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. So the sin caused God to anger, and it really weakened the people of God, and they were handed over to their enemies. I think it's pretty common knowledge across the board that the church is in a weakened state. The enemy many times has come through the front door. The practices, the Eastern practices of mysticism have been present in many churches for the last 30 years and more. The Word of God has been exchanged for philosophies of men, especially in the area of counsel. We need leaders. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. When you see judges, I want you to equate justice, righteousness, truth. So when we come to the light, so that the light can make manifest what the darkness is, when the light shines on the darkness, call it by the terms that it is. And that begins to get this in place, saying, I have done this. Now, the Lord is gracious, right? The Lord is righteous. Do you know that the whole basis of forgiveness, when you confess your sins to the Lord, He is faithful and just. Is there a more just judge that when you come to confessing and saying, I have done wrong, I have worshipped other gods, I have coveted, I have idolatry, I have not cleansed my vessel. When anyone's going to serve in worship ministry, I'm always working with them to what? Keep that vessel clean. Anyone's going to teach the Bible, what? Keep that vessel clean. The Lord raised up judges, delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Verse 17, yet they would not hearken unto their judges. Now, I know this is the cycle. I know this happens. But what's our great need? We need, just as Israel needed, a leader that would bring them back to God. It's what we need. You think about Fargo. You think about where we're at. We need a leader who will bring us back to God. Could that be Calvary Chapel Fargo as a church? Could that be us that would lead the way in turning to God, turning to Him only, and then going forth in the power to share the gospel? We need prayer. Just again, we'll pick this up more next week. But I'll leave you with this. Men, lead your home. When you say we need leaders, right there. You are absolutely responsible for everything that goes on in there. Whatever's watched, listened to. Etc. In church. We need revival. So a couple Sundays ago, I pulled back up in prayer the word from the Lord given to us about preaching and teaching repentance. And it was to remove the idolatry of covetousness, and it was to cleanse our vessels. And I'm sitting in the session with Bobby Hargraves up front, and he quotes the same two verses in the same context as we did on Sunday morning. So what I'm offering to you tonight is this part here. Yes, we're going through Judges 2, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to take to heart if we will be a people that will remove idolatry. What pleasure, what intellect, what honor, what, you know, what lust of the flesh, what lust of the eyes, what pride of life. And just between you and the Lord, again, you know what it is, and husbands and wives work together, say, let's get this out of our family. If the TV or internet is babysitting your children, you're sowing, planning for, right, them to go away. It's all out war that my pastor friend who sowed the Word of God, taught the Word of God, pastored, brought them up that way. They all went to Bible college. Again, that whole thing, 3 out of 5 gone. Now, why I'm sober about this, and again, you can ask my children, and please do. I said, being a pastor's kid will not help you. Right? Going to church will not help you. Saying my mom and dad, they followed the Bible like life and death, will not help you. And I handed off one thing to them. There's only one thing that will help you, will keep you, and that's the Word of God. And that's what I offer to you as church, the Word of God. That's the only thing that will keep you. Because you're going to get into all those situations, you're going to be tempted to the practice of something idolatrous and abominable, and some expression of some lust, and you're going to be tempted to do it, and you're going to look around and say, everybody in the world is doing it. And then you're just going to yield. And then you're going to find out that now that rules over you. And I just don't want to show up in heaven that way and say, why didn't you warn my people? And I'll look to God and I'll say, tell me now, what warning do I give? So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Thank you for the bad examples of Scripture. We're going to read some stuff in this book of Judges, Lord, that I hate reading it. Some of my least favorite chapters of the Bible are in this book. But what a warning. I pray now for your people that the Spirit of the living God would work in us to remove the idolatry that's in us, bowing down to some pleasure, giving money to some pleasure. I just come before you and ask for this mighty working power of God as we study. That we take to heart the living and powerful Word of God that pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. And we simply, Lord, want to live for you. And help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.